Welcome to the VU Tourism Podcast, and I am Koju Benton Williams. The VU Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. My guest today was one of the main architects of the hugely successful Year of Return Ghana 2019 campaign. Akwesi Ajuman, CEO of the Ghana Tourism Authority, continues his cardinal role as the coordinator for the Beyond the Return Initiative, a 10-year ambitious plan pivoted on 7 pillars, gives an overview of last year's event and delves into the inspiration for the new project. Good evening and welcome to the VU Tourism Podcast, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Yes, there we go. At least finally we are getting to meet with all these virus and all of that.
Yeah.
You know. So, quickly, I want to go on to the first question about how the Year of Return fared in retrospect, briefly.
I mean, in retrospect, I think we did more than what we had set out to do. Starting out, the idea was to try and build on just the numbers coming to Destination Ghana. But at the end of the year, we realized that not only had we achieved the numbers, but we also had other benefits accruing to Ghana, and also the engagement with the diaspora had become stronger than before. And so we had the numbers, we crossed the 1 million mark, we had a lot of corporate social responsibility projects out of this. Omega Sci-Fi, the Dikra Group, different organizations, Fuso DG, and all of them coming in doing things in the community. That was not part of the original objectives. And so, if I should put it that way, we went beyond what we had set out to do. Then, in terms of putting Ghana on the map, we realized that almost all media outlets, Voyage, Africa,
CNN, BBC,
everybody.
The top of the town.
Yes, everybody put Ghana on the map, and that really has heightened the interest of Ghana. And had it not been for COVID, we would have actually been riding high, because the interest in the destination, the bookings that are coming from what the tour operators are telling us, was something that was going to give us record numbers. If we just compare what we did the first quarter of this year, 2020, versus the previous year, it was almost the same, even taking the fact that 2 weeks of March was the airport was shut. So it tells you that we were really going to build on from 2019.
Okay, so in terms of the touch point, do you have a document? Because often than not, like in Ghana, which has always been the case sometimes, that after a successful event like that, if people want to go and assess and say these are the touch points, or
we have a full report, and we also done the impact study. We have done 3 impact studies. I mean, we did a one mid-year, June. We did what has happened the first 6 months. Then we did one in September, and then after the Year of Return, we did one in January. And all those are showing significant growth in all the key areas: hotel bookings, amount of money people spend in destination, the length of time they stay in country, the number of visits to tourist sites, interest in Ghana. So everything is moving in the right direction. And so we've done that. We're going to eventually publish what we call the event, the Year of Return brochure, post-event brochure, and everything will be in there. But we have 3 studies that we have done, half year, before the last quarter and after the last quarter.
Good, and congratulations yourself as a coordinator. Now, if you look at, in spite of the successes, we've seen that now Ghana has become an intrinsically the home of blackness or African Americans or people of in the yes. But I mean, one of the things that came up strongly also was the fact that was seen as an expensive destination. Did you pick up that, and what do you intend to do now that you're going into the Beyond the Return?
We picked that, and we didn't pick it up even in the Year of Return. Mm-hmm. Before the Year of Return, one of the considerations was how do we make Ghana
competitive.
And if you look at some of the concept documents and documentation we sent for approval through our ministry to cabinet. We're looking at, for example, the visa on arrival, and that's how come the visa on arrival fee was slashed. Yeah, so we said, let's make the destination competitive. We worked with the Hotels Association Progressive to see how they could do deals, and so getting rebates and rates down for travelers coming in was also a consideration. We did a lot of waivers in the year of return. Going forward, what we have tried to do is to put in place an e-visa project that will not just reduce pricing, because the pricing there will be lower, but also the ease of coming into the state will be enhanced. We're working also with the various other ministries and agencies to, as it were, harmonize some of the taxes and levies that operators bear. Because when you go back and talk to hoteliers, they will tell you, we pay about 22 different levies and taxes. Okay. So if we can ease some of these things, and I think the Ministry of Finance has taken a lead, I mean, currently working very closely on some of these projects and making sure that we can harmonize some of the costs so it can bring the destination cost down. But even with that destination cost, we've seen the interest is high. So what we are doing is to still make sure that we stimulate the demand, and so people will still want to consider Ghana as their first point of call when they want to travel.
Okay, so now with the goodwill of the year of return, now you zoom this straight into the beyond the return. And quickly, if you may touch on the pillars of it and, you know, give us an oversight of the innovation.
We have 7 pillars that we're working on, and you know, 7 represent completion. 7 in the Bible, God used 7 to create the world. So we that's why we have the 7 pillars, because the year
so it's much more biblical.
Biblical, because spiritual, if I should put it that
good
way.
Yeah,
because the year of return also had that spiritual connotation. God telling Abraham, your descendants will be in the wilderness for 400 years. So there is a spiritual connotation to the 7. And the 7 has also been carefully chosen based on feedback that we gotten from people who came in. Some people said, oh, I wish that I could have one experience. What is the year of return? Why is it that I cannot come in, have this experience and say I was part of the year of return instead of having so many different events? So we said, okay, let's create the Experience Ghana pillar that will eventually come out with a Sankofa journey. So you come, you take the bus, you did this, you did this, you did this, you get something in return. So like you go to Mecca and then you become an Alaji, or you go to Israel and stand by the wall. We want people to experience that. So that's where Experience Ghana comes in. People came and said, oh, we didn't see much of the cultural side of things, festivals. It was not incorporated in the events calendar. So we said, okay, let's create Celebrate Ghana. That will bring on stream all the various cultural and traditional festival that we have. That is the second pillar. People came, gave back to society, like I indicated, Omega Sci-Fi, digging boreholes, building schools. We said, let's create a path, the Give Back Ghana.
Okay.
So that is the third pillar. Then we have the Invest in Ghana. A lot of people came and said, oh, I wish I can make an investment in this destination. Unfortunately, if I were to go through the foreign direct investment route, it's quite expensive. I have to have a minimum of about $500,000. I have $50,000 that I wanted to invest in the arts, in the creative sector. So we're creating the Invest in Ghana pillar, working with GIPC to ensure that some of these laws can be relaxed. Then we have the Brand Ghana as a pillar, because we've seen that in as much as we are doing what we are doing, we have other agencies that are also marketing Ghana, the GIPCs, export promotion. We need to harmonize it. So when we go out there, it's not just GTA going talking beyond the return, another person come talking about Ghana on the go, harmonization of it, and making sure that at every given point in time, we are all singing from the same hymn book.
Okay.
Then we have the improvement of the heritage sites, very, very important. For a very long time, people come and we take them to Mina Cape Coast, because really, that is where we have some level of enhanced products.
Yes.
But we want to now enhance all the products across all the heritage sites. So that is another project that we are working on. And then we have the diaspora pathway to Ghana. We got complaints of people saying, oh, we're part of you, we left, we are Ghanaians, we are Africans, why is it so difficult to get a visa to come to Ghana? And so easing the pathway for them, that's another pillar, the pathway to Ghana, and that has projects like the e-visa, the Homeland Return Act, which is currently being worked on to grant citizenships and all that. And then finally, I think I've mentioned all the seven anyway.
Okay.
So those are the pillars that we are driving the project on. But we are working very closely with other agencies of state and then private sector as well. So some of the events that happened last year, like Afrochella and the Kente Festival, are things that we want to bring back into the station. COVID or no COVID, people still want to experience Ghana. And so we want to create that enabling platform, some via virtual and some in-person activities that will drive people to come to Ghana.
Okay, so now, yes, it's a 10-year calendar.
Project, yeah.
In terms of the short to medium term, do you have specific ones that you like to achieve within the short to medium term?
As a matter of fact, our short term, the immediate short term was to be able to consolidate the gains of the year of return.
Okay.
So we were looking at making the same numbers in 2019, in 2020, as a first year, and then be able to build the blocks, have the pillars ready, have the pillar committees and all that. Because of COVID, now we are just about less than 30% of what we achieved last year in terms of numbers coming in. And we don't anticipate going beyond 40%. So if we were to do this year, for example, more than 400,000 visitors to Ghana, that would be like the miracle of the century. And so what we are doing is to now recalibrate the machine, see what are some of the things that are achievable. So what we had out setting out from January has changed dramatically because of COVID. And so we will be able to share, we are still working on what are the things that are achievable. So for now, the most important thing for us is brand awareness of Ghana, trying to keep in touch with the diaspora, making sure that they still have us top of mind. So if the borders are open and they want to travel, they still want to come to Ghana.
Do you have a legal framework with this? Because it's a very ambitious, we know that it's a project that it cannot be stopped midway or something. There's a commitment towards that.
Yeah, so that's legal framework we are working on.
Okay.
But like I indicated, there are other pillars that are already in motion by other agencies.
Okay.
The Homeland Return Act, for example, is one of such pillars that the Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Tourism, and Ministry of Interior are working on. And that will really take it to the next level, where some of the issues of the right of abode, citizenship, are taken care of. And that will really satisfy that core need of our brothers and sisters in the diaspora.
Okay, so you wrap up, North America is your strong market.
Yeah.
It's been your strongest market. We don't know the figures yet. But then again, do you have plans of setting up either in representation or something other? Because there always have to be a fulcrum in which you're building your tourism.
Yeah, so what we did last year, coming into this year, was to start looking at some of the exhibitions, fairs, and events that happen there. So, for example, we know of the ATA, we know of the New York Travel Show and all those things.
Yeah,
so,
IMX and
all that. So that is our first outlay into that market, and we haven't done that. Almost all our travel shows that we attend are in Europe. So we're looking at America quite strongly. Already we received proposals for 2021 on some of the shows that are going to happen, and we want to participate in that. Then eventually we want to get representation. We've engaged with the U.S., the Ghana High Commission in Washington. They have been very helpful in terms of representing the interest, but I think we need to now have that diaspora connection, and so we'll be opening up that to interested companies to bid, and then we probably will have a representative sitting in either New York or Washington, depending on wherever it's
so coming. Finally, what's the projection in COVID, etc.? What's the projection for tourism numbers, or how are you gonna even? Now we are saying that domestic tourism and all of that, but how do we build a strong and robust, domestic or intra-African travel that we can withstand the shocks of things like that.
For us, we were looking at domestic first, regional, and then international. Unfortunately, the regional is proving a bit of a challenge, because if you realize our land borders are still not open, and so it's very difficult now to start making that assumption of regional can come in. So we're hoping that very soon, when the land borders are open, then we can start going back to our discussions on, for example, the West Africa Integrated Travel, the discussions we've had with organizers like Aquaba and Wazo and all those things, and also have our own travel show. I think it's something that Voyage as yourself has strongly advised.
We support you every time, but again, in the African market, the Muslim audience are Africans.
Yeah.
Do you have concerted efforts for Africa? Because when we travel outside, there's Ghana, the thing, because people think about Europe return, etc., only coming from the African Americans or, you know, people of black descent from Europe. But in Africa, because you know Ghana's role in Africa's world is a very unique one. And
yeah, so what we are doing really is to look at West Africa first.
Okay.
Because we believe that Nigeria alone can give us the numbers. We have a 200 and plus million market. So, and Nigerians love Ghana. And so we want to target the Nigerian experience first coming in, because also it's closer, there are flights that come in. Then eventually we look at East and Southern Africa. But West Africa, and that's why I said from domestic we go regional before we go African and then international. So our focus in the short term is regional West Africa, how we can get Nigeria, Togo, Benin, all of us moving around and making sure that we build each other up.
How are you dealing with the $150 testing fee that is proving to be prohibitive at some point in time, because we know that it's bigger than the tourism board? But have you made attempt to
we've engaged with the Ghana Airports Company. They also have explained to us that this is a concessionary agreement that they have, and so it's not like the money is coming to the airports company. It's they needed to rely on some private sector arrangement. So we're looking at the numbers. I mean, we've been only about 18 days. Complaints have come in. We're tracking the numbers to see the impact on what could have been. We've also engaged the airlines, and we're working towards some level of resolution. But as it is now, I think for us, the most important thing is the signaling. Signaling to the world that we are open. I mean, it will still be an expensive destination because
you have to test first. First of all, when you're coming, you need to test, have the PCR test. So you're taking $80, you arrive $150, and when you're leaving and coming, So
it's a bit complicated, but okay. I think, like I said, the signal is there that we are ready to do something. And once that is done, then we can build on from there.
Okay. Mr. Ajuma, this is a surprise question. So tell me about yourself. Because often I know we see you in the year of return. We know you have some experience with banking, etc. So in brief, who is Akosi Ajuma?
Akosi Ajuma?
Yeah.
Is,
tell us, this one is exclusive to us.
Oh, I'm who I am. I love...
what's been your journey? We know football.
I like football.
Football person, you do the bank thing. So tell me in a minute.
I love football. That's one thing. I love hanging out with friends.
I mean, you play ball every Saturday, which I know.
I play ball every Saturday. Prior to being here, I was in the media, and in the media space, there's never a dull moment. So I think that's carried me through to tourism, because in tourism too, there's never a dull moment.
Okay.
There's always groups coming, people wanting to do different things. So you're always on your feet thinking. And I think my media background, prior to media, I was also working in a bank. But I found the banking environment a bit too structured, where it's more like you're doing the same thing every day. And so once I touched media, I realized that was my calling, where you could bring some innovation to bear. But I've been blessed with the kind of people that I've met in the industry, private sector, very vibrant, people like yourself who have been very supportive, and the incredible team at GTA who have all chipped in to assist me as get on.
And your family, finally?
Oh, my family is my family. I have a wife and I have three kids. They are all growing now, so we'll get there.
Okay, it's been a pleasure, sir.
Thank you, man.